You know what I like? Southern California Public Radio. Ooh, I love them so much. And you know what website I go to all the time? Vulture.com. These are true statements I'm making, okay? Did you know that Vulture.com and Southern California Public Radio have a daily podcast? A daily podcast that focuses on arts, culture, and creativity? Yeah, this is your place you go to find out about movies that don't suck, TV that you need to be watching, everything and anything that is in pop culture, they are covering, okay? LA is the shop floor for the global economy, and The Frame, which is the title of this podcast, will cover what's happening with the people and the world shaping the world of culture. So subscribe today to The Frame on iTunes or listen on Stitcher or go to TuneIn. You won't regret it. The Frame. Today's episode of How Did This Get Made is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code June. That's J-U-N-E. Monkeys, miscarriages, and Arnold Schwarzenegger having a baby. We saw Junior, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to the 100th episode of How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
How are you, Paul? Congratulations on 100 episodes.
Congratulations, Jason.
Hooray and huzzah.
And welcome to the podcast, June Diane Raphael. Hello, June.
Hi, Paul.
Congratulations, June, on 100 episodes.
Thank you so much.
We have done what most podcasts do in a year. In about 5 years.
In about four and change short years, we have completed that which other people do in a matter of months.
We have made the landmark. I'm actually Googling right now just to see when we actually had our very first episode. And it was, it's almost there.
Here
almost,
we go. Almost there. I can't wait. I'm like bated breath.
Yeah.
Hold bated on. Breath.
When do you out. Think it was, Jason?
I have, like, legit no idea.
I think it was January of 2011.
Guess what, guys? June is correct.
Nice.
Our first episode aired on December 21st, 2010, with our first mini episode being December 10th, 2010.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
So it's taken us a long time
holy
to get
cow.
To 100.
That so for, is blowing my mind right now.
Wow. So all of 2011... So basically, 2011 is when we started, you know, for real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's still a long-ass time.
That's a long time. It's a lot of movies. It's a lot. It's many, many, many hours of our lives wasted watching movies that are reprehensibly bad, some of which we've already seen before.
We have decided for you, the fans, what we are going to do is finally do the movie that inspired our poster. Junior, you've been waiting for it.
Everyone's been hungering for it.
Hungering for this.
I've gotten upwards of 11,000 emails.
People it's hard just like, to walk down the street sometimes.
Junior!
When are you gonna
Where's
do that?
Junior?
I think people are calling my name June, but they're actually just saying Junior.
June, did you see that somebody named their baby after you?
I did see that.
So great. And if you'd like to continue to do that, you can do that with
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah, I can't help but notice that none of you dum-dums have named your baby after me.
But you
A
should.
Little baby named Zooks? Come on.
Now, we are doing
Please
this.
Please don't name your child Jason.
Name him Zooks. Could they name him Raffy?
No! Oh, that would be, that poor kid. That would be awful.
Someone's going to get
I would feel that. Awful if somebody was like, I named my son after Raffy. I'd be like, God. You are raising a monster.
People name their kids after Ruxin all the time. No,
oh,
name,
really?
Name your dog Ruxin. Don't name your child that. We are doing this episode guestless. 100% guestless because
Fuck guests.
It starts with us, it ends with us. 100
the Alpha
episodes.
And the Omega.
We don't need you guys. We are celebrating 100 episodes.
Although we are not ending this.
No, we're not ending.
Fine. Everybody's been waiting.
It's all come together. It's like it's almost like that episode of Serial where you find out who actually did it. This is it. This is the final reveal. We've really come full circle here, people.
All of our dreams have come true. All of your dreams have come true.
Well, I will say, without a doubt, I believe that this is quite literally one of the most ridiculous, crazy, big studio movies ever made. I really do believe that out of everything that we have seen in the 5 years that we have done this, this is one of, if not the craziest.
I am shocked that this got made, that this was, that the caliber of people who are involved.
Yeah. It is kind of shocking because it's a comedy that deals with like some serious ethical.
Oh, yes.
Complicated issue. So it is pretty shocking that this was.
It also deals with like very clear like female body rights issues. Yes. Like there's certainly
absolutely.
Like, but I do, with I do a take, real hijinks level
that's
like
what's insane.
Broad comedic bent.
Well, I'm gonna take a little bit of umbrage with both of what you're saying here.
You're gonna umbrage us.
I'm gonna
don't
umbrage
take
you.
Too much umbrage.
I'm gonna take a little umbrage with you because
are you gonna Dolores umbrage us?
This movie is classified as a comedy, but I would
thought you were going to say this movie is classified. This movie is classified. Eyes
your
only.
Eyes only. But it's classified as a comedy, but there are not many jokes in this movie.
Well, I mean, Emma Thompson is quite a klutz.
Well, when you say that, literally, Emma Thompson carries most of the comedic weight
yes.
on her shoulders.
With just physical clumsy. This is like the kind of real sweet spot of she's so smart, she can't control her body. Like she's so smart,
she's
a scientist,
a
that her body is like a strange thing
Look,
to her.
I found all of her stuff to be a breath of fresh. I really did. I really did.
That's how I felt about Langella.
Oh, really? Oh, I did not like Langella.
Oh, I'll take Langella all day,
really?
All night. Love it. I love Langella.
Well, first of all, this movie, I mean, I'm a big fan of
my favorite
Thompson.
Hollywood couple, Langella, Whoopi.
The
number
best.
One.
The best. That movie where she was.
They're
going to
make it work,
Knicks.
Guys. They're going to make it work.
Well, I also think that this is a movie that brings out a character we don't often see, which is Schwarzenegger, which is when you put.
Boo. Boo.
You put glasses on Schwarzenegger and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, now he's a real smart guy. He looks like a weightlifter, but he's real smart. And
he cannot sell me on being smart even a tiny little bit.
Can I just play him saying his science words? This is the this is the most smart he is.
Miscarriage prone female reproductive system is merely an extension of the body's natural and necessary instincts to reject foreign matter. Just two drops. The body mistakenly identifies the embryo as an unwanted foreign substance and creates antibodies to fight and reject it. From this equation comes the idea for the drug expectant.
Wait,
successful embryo attachment.
Wait, is that what this drug does?
Yes, I'm confused about the drug and now hearing it again.
I think I'm understanding a little bit better.
This is buried in the very top of the movie. It's the very tippy top. Almost the first words spoken are that monologue.
I didn't pay attention to that at all.
Okay, so, and this was honestly my big problem with the movie. I felt like it's, oh God, there are some huge ethical questions raised by this movie.
There are huge biological questions remain unanswered.
There are some scientific questions,
for
but,
a movie that has so much science in it,
okay,
they make
but
no
this
attempt.
This is my problem. Like, it's one thing to implant an embryo into this man for the sake of, like, which now I'm sort of understanding, like women not miscarrying anymore. And like, mm-hmm. That's actually, you know, for a beautiful purpose. But for most of the movie, they're just so psyched to make money off this drug.
Well,
Danny DeVito is. But nobody seems to really care about what this product actually does.
Well, I don't
understand. Think that's true. I do think they care about it. I mean, Schwarzenegger, it's like, it's his passion project. He's putting all of his effort into it. I think he believes in this for the greater good.
Beginning,
because, and he's heartbroken to lose his lab and that they're not going to get FDA approval or whatever.
I agree with that, but
I
never
he's
saw
part of the
that
money
he's connected
side.
To what this drug could actually do, which is to help women who are suffering from like repeated miscarriages.
Right.
By the way, this movie is about a drug that helps women stop having miscarriages.
Is it?
That's, I mean, no, that's where
it's a movie about that drug helping get a man pregnant and how hilarious that is.
Well, by the way, no one does it better than Joan Rivers and Billy Crystal in The Rabbit Test.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to both of them.
oh, Billy Crystal.
But I didn't understand even, I mean, the science, they make no attempt. They make no
zero
attempt.
Zero like, attempt.
They basically say we're going to shoot it in a
where? In where?
In his stomach, in as if there's another sack. And
here's the
sack
thing. How is that baby being nourished?
Okay, guys.
How is the baby being nourished?
Because there's
no amniotic fluid. The baby is not breathing. There's no umbilical cord. They just put an embryo in a cavity, like an empty cavity in his body.
Oh, now I'm understanding. At one point, did they say, oh, we'll put the baby near the intestine? So that, was that the plan?
No, I mean,
that has nothing to do with it.
No, that was when it was too big and it got tangled in the intestines. No, there's no reason that the baby should be able to live, grow, and flourish in a man's chest torso, in a man's trunk. It makes no sense. But they explain so much science garbage in this movie up until the point where they should tell us a lot of science as to why this is happening.
And then none.
And why
and then
it's
they
working.
Give us zero. Yeah, that's what I mean. Why this is able to happen. Why the baby is allowed to grow in his stomach makes absolutely no sense.
She sort of posits that you could just like inject an embryo in anyone's arm.
In any wet hole.
Growing.
Well, to me, again, it's like, why did they have to go down that science rabbit hole? Why not just make it a magic movie and go, hey, he woke up and he's pregnant. Like, we don't know why. He needs to learn
a
lesson.
Well, then we'd have The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
Well, wait. Now, here's the other thing about it. The movie makes no sense because it opens up with Schwarzenegger studying in a library and he sees a baby and he picks up the baby. He's like, oh, baby. Anyone? Who's mama?
Whose baby is this?
And
there's a baby here.
And he seems frightened of the baby. Then he walks into a room full of babies and it's a dream. Like, oh, God, what a nightmare to be surrounded by.
One of many dream sequences in this movie.
Oh,
see, and that's honestly what I wish the movie had been, which was
all
about
dream sequences.
All dream sequences all the time. Which, I mean, maybe there was an attempt to do this, but like if it had been about this man who's terrified of having babies and terrified of being a dad and terrified of like having a family, that I would understand. Like, oh, then we watch him.
Yeah.
Instead, it's just sort of this guy who has a baby growing inside of him and he seems like he's being possessed.
It seems like he is literally becoming a woman.
Yes.
What happens in the movie is he transitions into a woman.
Well, he is taking, according to one of the side characters, enough
progesterone
to get what you do if you get to be transgender.
Yes, to get to transition your sexuality.
I mean, this is actually, you know, very similar to Transparent on Amazon.
Transparent, inspired by this movie directly.
But to me, it's like it's also weird because he's a very sympathetic.
Can I have some water, June?
Yeah,
These mics are real good, right?
Sorry.
Let's just pour that water. Yeah, glug glug glug. Do you want to take a sip? 100 episodes.
Doesn't give a fuck anymore.
We should have done this episode drunk.
There's still time.
So, well, if we just spend a moment talking about the biology of it.
Yes.
There's no way this baby could grow inside a man's body.
No way. Okay. Whatsoever.
So when the baby...
Zero. Zilch. Zip. So, nada.
He, at one point, toward the end of the movie, he starts to go into labor.
Yes.
There had never been mention of a plan to get this baby out.
Well, they were just going to bring it to... They were going to abort it immediately because...
By the way, that's crazy.
What do you mean?
That they were going to abort it.
Well, they were going to abort it after the first trimester.
Right.
There was no... They did not want to bring it to term.
Exactly. They just wanted to prove that he wouldn't have
miscarriages.
They
could do it.
Okay. Which is fine, guys. Like, I believe in the right to choose. But I'm just saying, again, this is a big budget comedy where at one point we were all just watching our two leading men decide to abort a child.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Danny DeVito is actively trying to get abortions going in this movie numerous times.
Oh, yeah. No, he loves abortions. Danny DeVito is an OBGYN in this movie.
But this is the thing. Like, this is a sequel to a movie where the premise of the first movie was They're twins. How hilarious is that? You got Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger. They're two opposite.
Unlikely.
And then this one's like, hey, let's get rid of all the fun of that. Let's just make them both scientists who are really into birth and fertility.
Yep.
And let's just go down this rabbit hole and really make some statements. And that's what America wants to see when the team up happens again.
But by the way, why at a fertility clinic was he also delivering babies?
Well, I think he was a OBGYN.
Yep.
By the way,
he's an OBGYN who's working with the university to develop this drug.
And he wants to use the drug in his practice. And he loves fertility. And we know this because he has a sperm paperweight on his desk. And behind him on his walls are pictures of sperm going into eggs.
Yeah.
But
we also know that, like, he – and I did think I was kind of sweetly into him and his ex-wife's relationship.
Oh, please, then explain it to me.
But, you know, like, the other part of it for him is, like, he and his ex-wife never were able to get pregnant, and it was likely his fault because she raw-dogged somebody from Aerosmith and gets pregnant in the movie, and then he has to become her OBGYN. But, so, like, I feel like there's some investment. They do a lot of the movie. What we haven't said so far is that in equal measure to the movie's absurd slapstick nonsense is very saccharine, schmaltzy, emotional heartstrings pulling.
I would say that the movie is 75% heartstrings, emotional, dramatic work, and 25%
Emma Thompson with a piece of cheddar cheese on her face.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And don't forget the end of Act 2 Bosom Buddies episode, inexplicably, in the end of Act 2, they dress Schwarzenegger up like a woman and check him into a maternity hospital.
Is that what
that place is?
Yeah, it was like a hospital for women who are expecting children who might need medical care,
It was kind of like a pregnancy camp. And there was no husbands around.
It was like a spa for pregnant ladies.
I thought it was for, like, basically unwed mothers. That was the idea, that women would go there and have their baby. I've never heard of such a place.
Because it wasn't a maternity hospital. It wasn't even a hospital. Because if you're in danger of having your baby too early or having a miscarriage,
you want to do it at the Ojai Valley Inn, right?
That's where they go in this movie. They go to, like, a resort. The thing I was going to say about his character is Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger, there's no real difference of their point of view. To have two leads both kind of on the same page.
Well, that's what's weird, too, is that Danny DeVito starts off saying, you know, that once he realizes that Arnold's starting to get connected to the child, even though he's only in his first trimester. Again, huge ethical issues brought up. But so he's connected to this baby who's inside of him. And then he decides he doesn't want to abort the baby. And he goes home. This is where I was inexplicably, all of the expectant drug is in his bedroom, just waiting for him there. Okay. So he continues the pregnancy, and much to Danny DeVito's dismay. But then Danny DeVito later in the movie says, hey, that's my baby too, and takes complete ownership over the baby as though he's going to be the baby's dad.
Well, Danny DeVito wants to be a dad.
Yes, I think Danny DeVito wants to be a dad. That speaks to, like, he never was able to have a baby with his ex-wife.
But by the way, is that why they got divorced? Because they didn't seem to have any other problems than that. They were still sleeping together, and at one point...
No, they were sleeping in different rooms.
But remember when she said, I'm 7 weeks pregnant? He said, we had sex at that wedding.
Yeah. That's
so they're still kind
they
of
still have
boning.
A good relationship-ish. But I think she's like,
I can't be with you because you can't knock me up.
I don't think it was that. I think that the effort, because he says that he tried to get her pregnant. They tried to get pregnant for 8 years.
Right.
And I think that just took its toll. You know,
would think a fertility doctor would maybe be able to.
And therein it lies the absolute tragic consequences of this movie. I felt like what's fascinating about this movie is that, let's say you take a movie that is a romantic comedy about, like, a mismatched couple trying to suffer through a difficult pregnancy. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
What's the Molly Ringwald movie that's about this? She's having a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Do not. It is some. Do not malign some kind of wonderful
Mary Stuart Masterson. Amazing.
My future wife.
They shot Untamed Heart on my block. I would go leave my dorm just to see her.
What? That's awesome. What this movie gives us is that same kind of storyline, very emotional, hormonal woman and very kind of stoic, difficult man, only it's DeVito and Schwarzenegger as the couple. They move in together. They're living together. But yet, Schwarzenegger's becoming more and more and more of a woman. It's bizarre.
But again, this is – all right. A quick rewrite of this movie would be this.
Go.
Okay. Schwarzenegger is a guy who doesn't care about getting women pregnant, doesn't care about women, just cares about the money and the drugs.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right?
Doesn't care about women, just money and drugs.
Because he's the one who's like, he's so focused on his job, right? Because then when he would have the baby, he would then learn, oh, this is I need to be a better bedside manner.
Okay.
And then I feel like Danny DeVito would want to be the guy who is always wanting to be a dad. And never being a dad, which I think is kind of what he is. But the minute Schwarzenegger gets pregnant, DeVito doesn't really want him to be pregnant.
I think the only clean rewrite of this movie is that Schwarzenegger is the guy who's sort of the womanizer and never wants to settle down,
sure.
treats women like shit. But then he's working with this scientist, Emma Thompson. He's the money guy. She's
right.
sort of the heart and the science woman. And it's about their relationship.
Well,
Danny
I would agree.
DeVito needs to be cut out of the movie. The character does not make any sense.
Well, I agree with that. I went into my pitch knowing that the studio is like Twins was a hit. We need to put them back together. Mm-hmm. And this movie was probably written.
Here's my pitch.
Go.
You ready? The movie unfolds as June says. It is.
You got to put them in there. That's the only reason why this movie
exists.
It's
Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
And it's Emma Thompson.
Sure.
Okay. He gets pregnant and has the baby at the end of Act One. That baby is Danny DeVito.
Love it.
So okay?
Little man crossover.
Now,
love it.
Now what we've got is we've got a Danny DeVito in a diaper running around like crazy. He's all misshapen and troll-like because of the drug. So we believe it. He's more – the drug caused him to be more advanced. He's totally verbal. He is delivered.
It's like Mork from Ork.
And there's a thing – you watch the C-section happen where he comes out of Arnold's stomach like an alien chest burster or whatever, straight out of Arnold's stomach, or like when the episode of It's Always Sunny when he emerged naked from the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that, only pretend that's Arnold's belly. And that's it. And that's the movie. It's a straight-laced scientist and a womanizing
man
trying to raise a monster baby played by Danny DeVito. Home run movie.
That's a home
Eat
run
shit.
Movie. I didn't realize we could really reinvent the entire plot. I was trying to take what we had here and reshape it. Now, you guys really opened it up.
It's called We're Having a Baby?
We're Having a DeVito. It's also one of those movies where you will never know a character's name. You're just like, oh, yeah, Schwarzenegger,
yeah.
DeVito. Emma Thompson. By the way, this movie is full of faces of very talented people that went on. Like Christopher Maloney is in this movie.
He has one line.
One line. He is a guy that Danny DeVito seems way too excited to explain how the jerk-off room works. He's like,
and there's so many pornos in there.
So many. He's like, the latest pornos and latest magazines.
Yeah.
Why would you need the latest? As if you couldn't just jerk off to some old classics.
I get that. I wouldn't want to go in and be like, ugh, I've seen all these.
Can't get hard to these
there
old
were
pornos.
And rows and rows.
It made a porn store look
like
small.
Well, here's the thing. If I don't want to go into a jerk-off room and be like, oh, Tracy Lord's videos? No, thank you.
Well, here's the other thing. If you want to know what caliber of joke we're talking about in this movie, because there are not many, the biggest jokes are like when Schwarzenegger jerks off, he produces a cup with like a lot.
No, that's urine.
No, that's
urine. I know, but he also had...
He does have a jerk-off scene. Is it a lot?
It was a lot because he does it twice. That was the callback. The urine's a callback. He goes, whoa, big load. And then he says big load at one point.
That's disgusting.
There's a lot of like really dirty language in this movie that I was surprised by.
Schwarzenegger did not produce a comical size amount of semen, but it is a large amount. I remember looking at it and going, oh, they probably said, like, oh, it's Schwarzenegger.
I got to compare my load to Schwarzenegger load.
I would say it was like over 2 inches. Like,
but
in
that's
a
2 inches of cum?
And
no,
it was a big cup.
On set he was like, "No, put more in. I want people to know."
I'm glad to know that though, because I was baffled by why by the shot of his urine sample. And
you mean the half gallon of urine he produced? You mean like a large Gatorade bottle of urine that came out of his body?
Okay, these are the things that are weird about his like physical presence in the movie. Ugh. He also, and I really miss this, so you guys will have to explain it to me. When he says later on, he's pregnant, and so he's also super horny. And he says that he got an erection by looking at the middle of a honeydew.
I wrote this down.
I didn't understand
by
that.
By scooping seeds out of a honeydew gave him basically a boner.
Yeah.
I don't understand
that. Oh.
Is there anything more erotic in the middle of a melon?
But I get, is the joke.
Scooping the seeds out.
Scoop with the stringy hairs to connect the seeds.
Disgusting. But, okay, is the joke.
He likes to finger.
I'm genuinely asking, is the joke that it's so not erotic?
No, I
filthy, filthy melon.
I don't understand
I think
it.
I think to me, in my mind, he's like fingering the melon. It feels like he's fingering something.
Disgusting. By scooping it out?
Yeah, by putting his fingers in that.
Like, okay, now I got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you some videos, guys.
Disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Melon blasters.
There is so many things. This is the movie. The movie is a serious look at pregnancy. I mean, the comical thing is that it's Schwarzenegger. I mean, if it was not Schwarzenegger, this movie... I think by the – like if it was just a guy, like another actor, it would not be as funny. Like they're really relying on the fact of going –
I think it could have been funnier. I think his presence makes it somehow seem more serious.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like somehow to me
– he brings a gravitas to
this role. He is so not funny and so serious that I almost find that to be jarring.
Oh, that may
be it. If this had been Kevin Klein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Kevin this a funny movie?
100%.
I think it has the potential to be a funny movie.
Well, but also...
You know what I mean? But Arnold Schwarzenegger is
so
just
heavy.
Simply not funny and so leaden and so serious. And what you believe about his baby is that this is his baby. And there's no light touch to it to give us the ease and the comfort to be like, oh, this is funny.
Well, I felt very weird watching it.
Yeah. Here's a scene... That
weird,
I guess,
like turned on?
No,
okay,
no,
cool,
no,
cool,
no.
Cool. Just making sure.
Here's a scene that kind of shows Schwarzenegger doing comedy. It's when he talks about his sore nipples.
Oh,
this
God.
Would maybe be funny if Kevin Klein did it. Here we go.
My nipples are very sensitive.
That's making me laugh.
What? My nipples, they feel like kind of tingling.
Like tingling, like sore or like itchy?
You surf?
Huh?
Surf. Because I got that a lot from paddling out. It's something about the wax and the salt water. It irritates them.
You get what?
His nipples are tingling.
I don't surf.
It could be your laundry detergent. I used to get that when I used a non-biodegradable soap.
Thank you very much for your concern. It's very nice.
Or it could be that polyester shirt.
Slam on his regular pressed white shirt. He is dressed like a normal person.
Yes. And also... What's more hilarious than a whispered scene about sore nipples?
So upset.
And again, I feel like the whole writing of this movie was, it's funny because Schwarzenegger is talking about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're covering up that you're pregnant, why don't you go, yeah, I surf. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
exactly. I was also like, why talk about this in front of your coworkers? My nipples are very sore.
And he's still going
too.
To work. He's still going to work and his program is shut down.
Yes.
So is he still doing research?
Because
the monkeys are still there. But he's not supposed
to agreed. Well, she agreed to give him her lab because she was upset that he was going.
But he has no funding.
Just for clarification,
no,
she is spending her money. That's how Langella gets them. Because he's like, didn't we shut this down? Why are we still paying Emma Thompson for some of this expectant supply when that shut down? And then he gets mad at her, and then that puts him on the trail. But Emma Thompson, because we just haven't covered this exactly. DeVito and Schwarzenegger's drug is turned down by the FDA. The university they're a part of, Frank Langella, kicks them out and instead brings in Emma Thompson, who's doing frozen embryo research. And so,
and their drug isn't approved because they don't have enough clinical research on humans.
Yes. And in a scene right out of Young Frankenstein, we wonder, oh, how did they find this egg for Schwarzenegger? Danny DeVito breaks into Emma Thompson's frozen embryos and picks out an embryo that is just kind of labeled loosely Junior.
Yep.
Which I thought that was strange. Did all the embryos have names on them?
I would imagine, yes. Yeah.
No, but there's a reason why, and she explains it.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Because she couldn't put her own name on it because then people would know, her assistants and everybody would know it was hers.
I understood that, but I'm just wondering, like...
They had the name of the mother.
Oh,
sorry.
I see.
Or maybe the last name of the mother or something like that. She chose Junior so she herself would not be identified.
Gotcha. Now, why wouldn't Danny DeVito tell
Arnold
that?
Why doesn't she notice her embryo is
she
gone?
She is so concerned over these embryos that when she falls in the cart and it breaks through a door and it's a very Marx Brothers scene, she's like, oh, my embryos, and pops open the thing and she like almost counts them all and goes, oh, whew, they're all here. Now, this embryo has been missing.
For months.
Months.
10 weeks later.
And it's hers.
Her own embryo is missing.
You would think that in a case.
She's terrible at her job.
In a case of, I would argue, maybe 20 embryos, you would notice one missing.
Sure.
Especially if it was your own.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, especially if it was your own.
Yeah, I think you would.
So, if you're not following us, DeVito and Schwarzenegger implant a baby in Schwarzenegger that is Schwarzenegger's jizz and Emma Thompson's egg. That's the baby. And that somehow causes some sort of magical connection between Schwarzenegger and Emma Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
She starts being like, I don't know why, but suddenly I'm so drawn to you.
Basically,
she starts saying things that are almost like magic is happening.
As if when you're pregnant, you radiate like a Wi-Fi signal to whoever has impregnated.
Yes, that's what it is. It's only the person who's carrying your child.
Yes.
Because it's only then that she's
baby
like,
Wi-Fi.
Wait a minute.
Can I just also, I mean, not that this movie grounds itself in any science or even tries to, but I did.
It's irresponsible.
Yes.
How little science they give us on why this is working.
And all you really needed was like one PowerPoint. Like, I believe Jurassic Park. You say, Amber, it's frozen. Yep. Boom. We got it.
Done.
Show me like
moving
2 seconds.
Moving on.
I just want to go into this, and if it struck you as weird, I don't know. It struck me as weird. Schwarzenegger does all these tests on monkeys. I just was curious how he got like, where did he get a test group of monkeys who had miscarriages? Like, how did he like find out like in a group like, hey, how do you interview monkeys to know which ones?
I assume had them while they were in captivity.
That's a long test study to be like, oh, all right.
Here's the thing. Okay, so here's the thing about the science of it all and the biology. The only way this could have worked is if Arnold Schwarzenegger was already a woman in this film.
I'm sorry?
Wait a second.
The only possibility is that he had a vagina.
That's the only way that he had
a uterus.
He was
and
a character who just was
female.
A woman.
That's correct.
Played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, but was a woman.
That's correct. It's the only way this science works.
So not
out.
A transgendered man and not a cross-dressing man, but in fact just a woman.
Wow.
With a functioning uterus, with a functioning everything.
How else would you explain? Oh,
believe
this
me,
baby
I agree.
Survives.
No, this baby should never have survived. I agree with that 100%. But I want to continue with your conjecture that in this movie, Schwarzenegger should have been playing a woman.
I think maybe he was.
Interesting.
I feel like
there's a whole other reading of this film where Arnold is a woman the entire time.
Wait.
This is the only way that this could possibly work, and I don't provide any other explanation.
That he has woman parts?
He has to.
No.
Wait,
well,
you should just see the look that June gave me.
How is the baby surviving?
Paul, are you okay with that?
Yeah, it was really.
That looked like, that was a very brutal look.
Yeah.
How else is this baby surviving in his stomach?
Through the magic of cinema.
Movie?
Yeah.
Magic.
I mean, they don't
even. That's the only way.
And by the way, Emma Thompson is a very big scientist. And all she needed to go was, how is that possible? And he could say, I don't know. Something with the drug created a placenta and whatever.
Yeah. No, they offered no explanations to any scientific people. They're all scientists. The whole first 10 minutes is jargon. Is science jargon about the drug, the FDA jargon? It's all jargon. But then when we need to know,
nothing.
They don't tell us anything.
But my
it hurt my feelings.
But my point is this, again, to bring it back to this, the medicine is about women not having a miscarriage. I don't understand how that medicine even comes into play with Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he doesn't
that
have a uterus
separate. By
or
the way,
guys, it doesn't add up. It genuinely, we're never going to solve this because
right. Well, no,
they themselves were like,
an answer to
it's,
that
a buy.
One,
it's a buy. The audience just is going to buy it.
Yes, but I do think that if the idea is like, I mean, from that clip you played, that miscarriages happen because your body rejects this embryo, that because he was pumping himself up with expectant, his body would not, which it should naturally do, reject an embryo that's inside of him.
But how could that be
the idea?
But how could that be an appropriate test subject? Yeah, we tried it on a man in his stomach. But
well, they say that they tried it on a man monkey, a boy monkey, and it worked.
Oh, really? Okay. I missed that.
First, they say the reason that they say they can do it to Arnold is because DeVito's like, well, remember test subject whatever, the boy monkey. That embryo lived in him for 5 weeks, you know, or whatever.
By the way, at the end of the movie, is the drug approved?
Yes. I think the FDA is going to sign on or something.
Because they never bring...
Those FDA guys are real like...
Wait, how did the movie end?
The softest ending of all time. A helicopter shot over the beach. The movie ends
DeVito's, 1 year later.
Yeah, DeVito's ex-wife... who's now his current wife. She has a baby.
Spoilers, they get back together.
Yeah. And Schwarzenegger has a baby, and they're at a joint birthday party. And they say, are you going to have another kid, to DeVito and his wife? And she's like, oh, my gosh. I
can't
go
through that again.
And Schwarzenegger's like, amen, sister.
And he goes, but...
I could never do it either. It's too much wear and tear on my body.
Maybe you don't have to. And then looks over at DeVito, which DeVito then grabs his child and then runs away.
Yep.
Which also doesn't make any sense.
Well, the sequel to this movie was going to be about a father who abducts his child.
Now, Jason, you were talking before that you didn't like Schwarzenegger in this movie. You didn't think he brought too much gravitas to it.
Yeah, I find him to be bad.
Okay.
Did you like him in Kindergarten Cop?
I didn't really, but that's fine.
Well, you know, it's funny because I said to June last night, it's so funny. This movie is so different than what Twins is. Twins is a really great movie. Have not seen Twins since it was released, and we played the trailer, and it does not look like a really good movie.
Oh, you don't think? Of course it's not a good movie.
We've talked about that on the show. We got to continue to do it. Is it good? Where we just watch a movie that is...
That we remember as good.
Like
that,
Top Gun.
My version of Twins. That movie is Lady Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
With Matthew Broderick, Rutger Hauer, and... beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer.
Every now and then we should just drop those into this. Was it good?
I used to think it was one of the best movies ever.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it in adulthood and was like, oh no. I've been telling people about this movie for years. They must think I'm a lunatic.
I own Lady Hawk on Laserdisc. So I was with you as a child.
Oh,
beautiful
I loved
Michelle
it.
Pfeiffer.
I love it. Was like
hilarious
my
Matthew
first
Broderick.
Crush was Michelle Pfeiffer and Lady Hawk and the Double Trouble Twins.
Amazing. Oh, those girls were great. But Twins was not...
Those gals, they're great.
But you were saying that Schwarzenegger is bad, and I only bring that up because Roger Ebert gave this movie 3.5 out of 4 stars.
What?
And is quoted as saying, I know this sounds odd, but Schwarzenegger is perfect for this role. Observe his acting carefully in Junior, and you'll see the skills that many serious actors could only envy.
Well, here's what's weird. He doesn't...
What?
He doesn't overdo it, but I think what you were saying, Jason, is right. Like, there could be a version of this, too, which is just so big and so broad. And
yeah,
so,
well...
He doesn't do that, but he also doesn't give it the levity that it needs either.
No, he treats it like a drama. Because he also... Schwarzenegger was quoted as saying that he spent numerous days... on end in obstetricians' offices watching and studying pregnant women.
Yes.
And I feel like
I'm not surprised at all. He was very I'm not saying he was bad like he's a bad actor.
No, but I think he was trying to bring too much of a verite.
He was truly trying to do something.
Yes.
What he was trying to do, it works in opposition to the movie.
It makes it not a comedy.
Yes, because he is doing a very serious, very intense read on this humor. He's playing a humorless character.
Well, I actually think that that's why they created this. His little sidekick at the office is this woman who is so monotone. No, not this woman who is so monotone.
Oh, the Rhea Perlman lookalike?
Serious. Yes, Bobo Rhea Perlman. I think they created her to try to make him seem lighter.
Interesting.
But I would also argue that Danny DeVito is not super light in this movie either.
Nope.
You have a comedy movie like basically anchored by two non-comedic leads.
That's why I believe Emma Thompson is a klutz to a degree that every single scene she's in, something absolutely preposterous happens physically.
Yes.
She kicks her shoe across the room. She eats
a lobster in the closet.
The lobster flies across the restaurant.
Which we don't even see. It's a nice reveal. Yep. Like you see Fred Stoller grab a lobster claw and then bring it back over to her table and go, you lost this.
It's her clumsiness is truly the comedic relief, and it's just not great.
Oh, I thought it was.
I think she's fantastic. I think she's fantastic, but I was like, I am done with clumsy bits, you know.
I did think she probably also rewrote her whole monologue at the end, because that was like all of a sudden there is this.
Yeah, which are you? Like, you're going to take this away from us? That monologue?
Yes.
Yeah, which was great. Like a compelling monologue and like really well written and so not a part of this movie.
I agree.
That I think she must have just like rewritten the entire thing herself.
Was it better or worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger's My Body, My Choice monologue,
which
I should play a clip from you right now. My Body, My Choice, this is where we really get into some really deep issues in Junior.
Only the greatest scientific breakthrough in the history of this university.
Langella.
Doctor, you know, we're in this together now. We have a contract, and I quote, exploitation of results from university-funded research shall be at the sole discretion of the university. Now, you come on. I've ordered some tests.
Leave me alone.
He said to leave him alone.
Escort Dr. Hess to the ambulance.
Stop. Contact. He's in a very delicate condition.
You know, I'm really disappointed in you, Diana. You and your baby are university property now.
No, I'm not.
There it is. My body, my choice.
Yes. Triumphant moment where he runs away and then hides in drag for the last half of the movie.
Well, here's the problem, too. I mean, all of the ethical questions. Like, you're watching most of this movie, and I was just thinking the whole time, like, there's a baby inside.
Yep.
There's another baby
inside that cannot come out.
No.
Can't come out through
that has
people.
No
like, the entire
exit
movie,
strategy.
You're just like, how does this baby
and
come
the baby
out?
Is
does
kicking.
He poop him out? Like, what? Yeah. How? What?
I was like, is he going to poop this baby out? I wanted him to poop the baby out.
I would
out.
Love that. Hey, everybody. Before we continue on with the podcast, just need to stop and pay some ads. But there's one person who paid us because they're so damn awesome. That's right. I'm talking about Zach and Leslie Hoover, who gave us $100. Zach and Leslie, it's $50 each. I don't think less of you. I think more of you. You guys really stepped up to the plate. And as a special treat to you, I'm going to do a quick rhyme with your name. Zach and Leslie Hoover, they're groovers. Shit. Fuck. Hey, everybody, here's the deal. Unless you're a podcast newbie, you've heard about Audible, but have you tried Audible? I am a believer. Hell, I subscribe. I love Audible. And they don't even give it to me for free. They should. I shill it on the radio all the time, but I love Audible. And here's why. Because every book you can read, you can actually hear someone read it to you. And what is better than that? Okay, we all want to be read to. And Audible has 150,000 books to choose from fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable. And check it out. You're reading one thing, you go to your iPhone, guess what? Audible's on it. You can continue listening. You're on a jog, you want to listen to Lena Dunham? Great. You're in bed, don't want to read, want to listen to Amy Poehler's new book? You can do it. So go to audiblepodcast.com/how for a 30-day free trial. That's audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and trial, because that lets them know that we sent you. And here's the thing, people. You've heard it. Now try it. It's great to hear your favorite authors read to you or just talented voiceover actors reading to you. Stop with the reading. Start with the listening. Get into it. And guess what? You own these books too. Yeah, that's a thing they don't even put out there, but you get to own them. They don't go away. All right? You got them for all time. Audible.com. What are you waiting for? The world is ending and you have not made a choice. You know what's good? Free fucking snacks. We love snacks. Not we, how did this get made? We as a people, Americans want to eat. But guess what? When you go to a vending machine, it's all full of garbage, processed garbage. How long has those cheese been on that cracker?
We don't want to eat that. We want to eat healthy. That's what I'm going to tell you about Nature Box, okay? Nature Box is amazing because they send snacks to your house. These are better snacks than what you're getting anywhere else. All right, they are delicious. Okay, they're so, so good. We got stuff like the peanut butter nom noms. Ooh, yeah, garlic pumpkin seeds, cherry crumble granola. It's so good. All right, so go to naturebox.com/how and try NatureBox for free, and you'll get a trial box of 5 snacks. You heard me right. You don't even have to put a credit card down, people. Just go to naturebox.com/how, get those snacks, see if you like it. If you do, then let's make a life commitment to NatureBox. If you don't, that's fine. Okay, so go over to naturebox.com/how and get started today. And when you do that, they know that we sent you. Then we can keep the lights on, and then we can go and eat, and then we can live a life that's happy. But if we don't, you screw us all. naturebox.com/how. Sponsoring today's show is Squarespace. They are the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. But you guys know that. You know why you know it? Because I'm always telling you that. So what's your problem? Why aren't you creating a website, okay? Is it because you're afraid they're not fast or easy or they don't have beautiful designs? Guess what? Wrong, wrong, wrong. They have 24/7 customer support too, okay? So you can get up at 4 in the morning, you could call these motherfuckers up and they'll be like, yeah, what's up? Let's talk about your website at 3:15 a.m., okay? They also support a drag and drop interface. So those of us who don't know how to, you know, develop a web page can also create a beautiful website. I wish I had Squarespace when I first started out in this game. You know why? Because I had the idea for Netflix, but I didn't know how to code for shit. It could have been me making all that money, that Ted Sarandos dollar bills, y'all. I could have had all that money. But guess what? I didn't create Netflix, and now I'm doing a podcast for free. The choice is yours, people. Be a multimillionaire with a giant corporation that trades very high on the stock market, or do a free podcast. People, it's a very simple choice. Plans start at $8 a month and include a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So for a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code June, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. Because a better website, wait for it, starts with your website.
But the other thing that I have a problem with is it also posits that women are completely, and especially pregnant women, completely ruled by their bodies.
Yeah.
That they have no
free will.
Free will.
No.
Which has huge implications.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Schwarzenegger is dressed very conservatively, but when he's pregnant, he goes into a Hawaiian shirt phase. Like, he's like, oh, bring me to the Big and Tall Man store, which, by the way, has the best extra of all time. This giant, who I must find information out, his back is to the camera for 90% of the shot, but he
is
a...
If you are that giant or know that giant, please have him contact us.
Please.
At HDTGM on Twitter.
That guy is a giant. He is not CGI. It was amazing.
If you are that giant, we want to talk to you. Please contact us.
But he...
Hey.
We are looking for giants. All the episodes after 100 will be having one giant here.
If you can get this information to the top of the giant's head, please have him contact us.
but that was an odd choice because I don't think that women decide to dress like he became more casual.
And if you think it's because we're hunting giants, that's not it.
That is not true.
That rumor is fictitious.
Because you don't see the giants after they come to us, that doesn't mean that they are missing
that
or
is
dead.
Has nothing to do with it.
We do not hunt them on a large farm in Northern California.
We do not go and hunt frost giants.
But even though they would be the most interesting game to hunt because they're so tall
and big.
They propose a very big... Well, like, I don't want to get into it. But anyway, we are not killing giants.
We are here to say, on episode 100, we at How Did This Get Made are not committing a giant genocide.
And
using this show in an effort to round up the final remaining giants.
And for all those people that are on iTunes, leaving those in the comment section, you are sadly mistaken.
And whoever's calling it a giant side, we do not appreciate that.
I said to June before this movie started, not having seen it, I looked at her and I said, you will cry during this movie. Now, Jason, was I right or was I wrong?
Did she cry?
Yes.
100%.
June?
Yeah, of course I did. Did you?
I cried.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa.
I cried.
You both cried?
Yeah, at the end, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, at the very end, I cried a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. I cried when DeVito had his baby.
Me too. Oh, wow.
I had a little tear when DeVito had his baby.
I actually had a weird reaction when Arnold had the baby, because when she came, when Emma came into the room, I just wanted
him to give.
I said, give her the baby.
You were very angry at him.
Yeah, because
she has been robbed of this experience.
And it's
her baby.
It is her baby. And who knows, someone who's freezing their egg, who knows how many viable eggs she has in there?
And the other thing is, like, he makes no, that's right. He doesn't know it's hers until he does. Okay, let's forget it then.
And by the way, they're in love. Emma Thompson and Schwarzenegger are in love, arguably from one dance, a half a date, and a half a kiss.
Okay, so first
but
of all,
they're in love. I think the movie's, sorry, June, go ahead.
Well, at the dance, they are at a function that is sort of for pharmaceutical executives. Okay, our reps. Why is there a dance floor there?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a social event.
Okay. Why are there professional dancers there?
Well, no. They're not professional dancers. They're pharmaceutical reps.
Wait a second.
That are just dancing really well.
Do you think that they hired dancers to be there?
Those dancers are too good to just simply be pharmaceutical
reps.
So
what do you think?
Do you think that Merck sent in party starters?
I didn't know why all of a sudden the Huff siblings come in? There are such amazing dancers on this dance floor.
Well, I mean,
aren't you ever at like a wedding and one couple is like embarrassingly good at dancing?
Couple, yeah. But in that scene,
well,
there
this
were
is
about
pharmaceutical
five
reps. And you know how they roll.
Just extrapolate.
You have to go like, hey, look, I got to sell all my pills, you know, and I want to, I got to get my Prilosec out there. And I got to make sure that people are, had a great time at my
Prilosec.
Party.
I mean, this is an over-the-counter drug. Prescription
way,
strength?
Well, this is back in the day. I mean,
oh,
this
okay. Yeah,
made.
That's true.
Here's the thing about it. My dad's a pharmacist. And I understand a little bit about this world. This is like...
Oh, so this is an area that you have expertise in, Paul.
I do, for the first time.
The pharmaceutical industry. Well, interesting. You're on the board with expertise.
This is the first time I've...
Episode 100.
This is it.
It's taken 100 episodes to find
to tell you a little bit about me. But I'll tell you this. I know a little bit about it. Again, this movie posits something that doesn't exist. So just all the pharmaceutical reps come. And then what? Then just people who have drugs that they want to get in?
Well, I don't
come
think they
to,
were
like,
reps. I think the wow, like, for someone who knows a lot about
well, the way
pharmaceutical
it would,
drugs, it doesn't sound like
well, the
you
way
do.
It would, the
June,
way it,
do you want to school him?
Yeah,
no,
I
no,
do
no,
because
no,
it,
I want to tell you
reps.
How it works.
Reps are the ones that go to the doctors and say, like, here are – they're selling okay. their wares and giving okay. out free samples.
So, but the way it would work is a company, a pharmaceutical – like, you wouldn't just have a – you wouldn't have, like, a meet and greet with a bunch of – I mean, they're a bunch of pharmaceutical companies
yes.
at that party. So what? Why would you ever just have a general party with like 15 different pharmaceutical companies and then what? You'd invite just people who have drugs to kind of schmooze? Like that doesn't make any – like I don't even
right.
understand what that event is.
I had
is.
No idea what that
okay,
event
see,
was.
Okay, see, I don't think DeVito and Schwarzenegger are supposed to be there. I think this is a thing where all of these different pharmaceutical companies are there to meet with like the universe, the people who are developing new drugs in universities, so that the pharmaceutical companies can be like, oh, that's a line of research
like
we would want to get in on.
Like recruiters.
We will underwrite your research for future drug that we might have.
So they're going to a big college game and they're like, I like that guy. I like
think
that.
That's it. DeVito sneaks in because remember Langella's like, what are you doing here?
Got it.
You know, like, you're not supposed to be here. And I think that's what I think.
But now, why would Langella not want – again, the enemy of this movie is also very unclear because wouldn't he want that to be a success?
No, because he – because it didn't get FDA approval, he's like, this is – this can
you
not succeed.
You can't test this on humans.
This can't succeed, so this is dead. This project is dead because the FDA is not going to do it, and without their approval, we can't move forward. So I'm going with this other thing.
We have the hots for.
We've got the frozen eggs.
But he seems like he's more got the hots for her. That's the only reason why he brought
oh,
her.
Oh, maybe.
Because he like
really?
Remember, yeah, because remember when he
oh,
goes, he
yeah,
like,
yeah,
can
yeah.
I have a dance? And then he sits off to the side and eats a hot dog in a blanket, which is the most disgusting scene ever. Schwarzenegger, Emma Thompson eating pigs in a blanket, although he calls it Franks in a blanket.
He keeps Frank's in a blanket. He's so, his performance when he's all female hormoned up, it's is so
frightening,
fey and weird.
Honestly, there are many points in this movie where I thought this is a horror film.
Yeah.
This is absolutely
this is a body horror
terrifying.
Film. This is like
it
David
really
Cronenberg could have made this movie. I would encourage somebody in our audience to spend too much of their personal time cutting a trailer for this movie that makes it look like a body horror film.
And because here's what's weird. When you see a pregnant woman, and this is why just sort of the visage, the image of him is so upsetting. When you see a pregnant woman, your mind is like, oh, she's carrying a child and that child's going to be here one day. Like you sort of see its way out. With him, you just see this pregnant belly as this little weird prison, and you know there's no way this child can get out of
there. When he goes into labor pains, which are impossible, I found myself very uncomfortable because I knew that baby can't get out.
I know.
There is the only way to get that baby out is to cut it out, and he is being irresponsible by staying in that bed and waiting for Danny DeVito to fly home on a plane.
It freaked me out.
You gotta fucking cut that. I will fucking come in there and cut it out with a butcher knife, bro. Bro, I will get in there.
Well, here's
I will
the thing.
Scoop
I did,
that baby out.
I think Danny DeVito offers some scientific explanation, which is, I mean, labor pains are, the baby just gets so big that it's all of a sudden needs
but
to get out of your
body. But isn't it
about
the contraction of the bottom of the
uterus? Well, once the head
uterus?
Starts to push against it, then
but there's
starts,
nothing there. There's no
well,
hole it's getting
Danny
out of.
Danny DeVito says the baby is, I think, pushing against his intestine, and that's why he's experiencing what look a lot like contractions.
Yes.
And she's, or I guess
what's
she's
timing what's interesting to me is that, like, the montage, the bosom buddies spa ladies, pregnant ladies spa weekend portion of the movie, Schwarzenegger is dressed like a woman and he's learning all of the things about how to give birth, all of the breathing techniques, all of everything, none of which is he going to use.
No.
He cannot have this baby.
He's going to get it cut out of
so
him.
That's so strange.
Like, by the way, they should just cut it out at the
Why
end
didn't
of the,
he just stay in DeVito's house while DeVito was gone?
Well,
genuine
I mean,
question.
That makes
oh,
no
genuine
sense.
Question.
I don't.
DeVito has to go
DeVito
away for 2 days.
Leave him alone.
Why did? Oh, is it to keep him away from Langella?
I
well,
think
I thought
so.
That
I think
they
he
went.
He knows he's on the trail.
But they also like.
Yeah,
but,
maybe that's it.
But they don't. But they don't also like. What are they? They don't really explain
you
that.
You just really ran out of steam.
Well,
because
they don't
okay?
explain it. They do this like car ride scene where they totally ADR all the voices, and it's like, ah, women are crazy. Women are nuts. You tell them, you know, they go, oh, I wish you had a baby. And then you have a baby, and they're like, ah, we want the baby. Wait. And then all of a sudden he's in drag.
Do you think
there
are some men who feel, or maybe you both have felt this sort of deep curiosity about, like, what it would be like if you were pregnant?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait, you just said, don't you think that? And we both agreed with
I
you.
Am.
You were shocked by that?
Shocked.
Were you trying to trick us?
No, yeah. I'm surprised.
You really, you lured us into that and we're surprised
yeah,
by
really?
The answer
yeah.
you got.
I'm surprised.
I think about it all the time when
what
I'm
it,
jerking off. I'm like,
what
ooh,
it
my
would
baby
be like
belly.
To be pregnant.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. I mean, I imagine it would be very similar to the
big old
no, just
milky
penis. Penis envy
what?
Is like such a thing that you, but you never hear the flip of that.
Wait,
like,
penis envy? What do you mean?
Well,
wait,
just
penis envy?
That's what she just said.
Yeah, penis envy.
Yeah,
but
penis
no, but,
envy.
But wait, are you saying like women are have penis envy?
Well, yeah. I'm saying the Freudian idea of like women are just right. sad that they
that's
don't
that's like
have
a Freudian
dicks.
Term.
I
yeah.
understand.
You know,
yeah, okay, I didn't. I,
but you never hear the flip of it, and he certainly never explored this idea
I think
of like
as,
men having
as men as evolved as Paul and I
yeah.
are very aware of and curious about what it must be like to be a woman
oh,
who's having a baby.
I mean, this movie okay. drew me closer
and just like
to it.
Feeling that belly and feeling my tits fill
okay.
up with
well,
milk.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Like warming
your own milk.
That's warm milk just
talking.
Squirting out of my nips.
It's disgusting.
Milky nips. What?
Now, has
I think about it all the time.
Disgusting.
Just milk running
way,
down
oh.
my tits and belly. Oh, shit.
Speaking about this this baby Wi-Fi and Jason's milky tits, the baby Wi-Fi that Emma Thompson
100 episodes, and yet we've never said milky tits before.
Penis envy is also first. Emma Thompson not only has a baby Wi-Fi, but she has a spidey sense because when he goes into contractions, she's like at her workspace in L.A., and she's like, what? Oh. Like
he calls her. No, he calls her on the phone.
She, before it all happened, she's
really?
Like, type, 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 type.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she perks up. She does like a.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. She has a little moment.
There is this section of the movie, I will say, this is for up until Bosom Buddies, which is a lot of the movie.
Yes.
I was like, ugh, I wish we weren't doing this movie.
Yeah.
Neither am I enjoying this, nor do I have really much to say. This is just schmaltzy nonsense. The minute they dress him up like a woman and send him to that weird place, I was like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Can we play a clip of him in drag? This is Schwarzenegger doing his lady voice.
I realize that my appearance may be a bit startling.
It's sometimes difficult for people to take.
If I may speak to your concerns, please.
Yes, by all means.
When I was a sportswoman on the East German Olympic track and field team,
this I thought he did very well.
They dispensed anabolic steroids as freely as here in America they dole out Gatorade.
They pushed it on them. I mean, just
nothing was mentioned of the side effects that are now so obviously painfully apparent. But I'm all woman.
Believe you me.
Of course.
Believe you me.
That actually was a great performance. I thought his performance as a woman was pretty spectacular.
It was like, it was as if Mrs. Doubtfire was like irradiated by a gamma bomb and became like the Hulk Mrs. Doubtfire. That's a movie I would have done. I would be into a movie that is Mrs. Doubtfire and Hulked out Mrs. Doubtfire, in which Robin Williams turns into Schwarzenegger and drag. That's a movie I'm 100% on board for.
It's just odd that there is no, I mean, he's 8 months pregnant when he heads into this weird, like, female retreat place. And
I said the whole
no,
movie should have been that place.
Yeah, but there's no plan for his labor.
Nope.
By the way, it just, yeah.
It's so
and
weird.
And there's also no plan of like, oh, what is he going to keep this baby?
Here's a, can we, there's, yes, that's true. Here's one other thing. When he's dressed as a woman at the place, Emma Thompson shows up and fucks him.
Yeah. Does she? I couldn't
she,
tell.
Yeah.
Did they
fucks
sleep together?
Him.
Yeah.
And his pregnant body.
And his big, giant pregnant belly, which I agree is gross. Pregnant women are disgusting.
I don't even understand the angle of it, because if she was on top of him like a cowboy or something, the stomach
yes,
would get in the way.
Still stomach is in the way.
So is he,
who
like,
knows?
Is
just,
he like...
He can't plow into her.
Yeah,
maybe like doggy. So his belly
no,
kind of goes up over her.
No.
Maybe
that
she just
work.
Maybe she just rides him.
On?
She wears the strap on,
and then
maybe
fucks him.
And maybe fucks him
because he probably would like
that. Would
at
work.
That, point.
That would work.
I don't understand how. Yeah, I don't understand how that. So
okay,
can someone please draw a diagram of this,
okay.
And we will put it in the mini episode.
If anybody could come up with a flash animation for the sex scene of this movie that we can just insert, start with like the seconds leading up to it. Insert your sex scene and then cut straight to her
like
putting her shirt back on,
like an animatic in
yes.
a movie.
Yep, please do.
The most disturbing
100 episodes
was when he in that maternity place. You see him head to pee, and he's got his big pregnant belly on, and he's sort of walking to the bathroom in profile, and you watch him pee with it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, he pisses.
So
oh, I don't remember that part.
Weird.
Oh, that's gross.
It's just so weird.
Why is
I want to talk about
I don't remember. What year is this?
1994.
Did all women at the time just dress in beige?
Okay.
Oh, it's so beige.
Beige,
talk about
on
all
beige,
beige
on beige
all the time.
It was 50 Shades of Beige.
Great alternate title
I felt
for
like,
this movie.
I felt like this movie all took place at, what was that, Laura Ashley? Like that,
yeah,
like,
the
that, bedrooms. That's what it felt like.
They're his Danny DeVito's bedroom that he puts Arnold in looks exactly like the bedroom at the maternity
It looks like
ward.
All the clothes came from Chico's.
Yeah, and they're all in these like long smocks with like three buttons down there.
Yes, and like long vests and Emma Thompson. And by the way, she looks great,
yeah.
But is constantly wearing pants that have upwards of seven pleats, like upwards
pleats
of seven
on pleats.
Pleats on pleats on pleats on pleats. She has like front pleats, back pleats. She's
her
rotten.
Shoes
pleats
have pleats.
Pleats. Her pleats have pleats.
I'm going to need to pleat those pleats so I can have internal pleats.
Oh, man. Well, talking about clothing, there was a moment here I just want to call out to in the Big and Tall store where the giant was. And again, if you know where that giant is, let us know. We're not going to kill him. We're going to treat him really well.
We're looking for that giant. Just let us know where he is. Don't be scared.
John Panette, who
we will not be terrorized by these giants anymore.
They at one point, Schwarzenegger's like, I want to get these pants, but can you leave them a little loose because you might grow into them? And he goes, That's the spirit.
Yep.
Like, so are the
chubby
people,
guy, not the giant.
The chubby guy. Is that the spirit of the big and tall story? Like, to make you more fat? Like, there's not like, it's like, yeah, way to go, fatty.
I think he's like, don't be ashamed, embrace it.
But you're going to get even fatter?
Yep, you're a disgusting monster.
Like, not like, hey, why don't you rein it in at this point? And also, I was upset that the joke was stolen in this movie. It's set up very early on that Danny DeVito's ex-wife was pregnated by someone in Aerosmith, which is a great dramatic scene of Danny DeVito.
Aerosmith. She is a woman in her mid to late 30s.
She is not.
Who's pretty, you know, plain Jane looking.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. She's nobody that I feel like Steven Tyler is like raw dogging into pregnancy.
Way, well, here's two problems. First of all, when they mentioned Aerosmith, I was like, holy shit.
I don't even think Joey Kramer's going to fuck this woman.
At the end, when she said Aerosmith, my mind went immediately to third act. Aerosmith comes into the delivery room and sings, "Dude looks like a lady. Dude looks like a lady needed to be in this movie." And
I didn't even think about that. That was genius.
That was my. And then you find out it's not even a dude from Aerosmith. It's just the trainer of the band Aerosmith. Like, why not in this movie just have someone from Aerosmith?
And also, are they touring around with a personal trainer?
I don't know. I don't know how Rockstar works.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Oh, okay.
If you're Aerosmith, I think you...
I just don't think they look like guys who are super into...
Oh, are you kidding?
They got to keep that cardio up. They got to keep that cardio
going. Joe Perry is like ripped, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, we had so much to talk about here, but obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but there are some people out there that disagree with us. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions! From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second Opinions for everyone. Second Opinions!
All right, well, the junior
second. Is that what we're playing?
We play that every single time.
Every time?
Every time.
That is
live.
That is a lot.
If you guys
are we sure we're not just supposed to be playing one of those things?
No.
It sounds like four things combined.
That was our song that we made, and that was a beautiful.
It's a song?
It's a song.
Okay, cool.
It's a song.
Cool. Do we license that?
Oh, yeah, that's
ASCAP. Is that ASCAP? Yeah, okay,
that's
great.
There.
Great. So if anybody covers that, we stand to make money?
Oh, actually, I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but for the 100th episode, Pharrell is actually going to sample
what?
That.
Oh, my God.
That's great news.
I will say this. If if you are in our audience and would like to cover that song, or why not? I'm surprised nobody has covered our theme song.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, any covers.
Why not a cover? I would love
absolutely.
An acoustic cover
we're
of our theme song.
We're asking a lot of you guys. We're asking you to do mashup trailers, animatics.
Fine giants.
Yep. And don't forget to send it to your Pap's Muse.
I don't mind someone covering that song. That would be really nice.
Yep.
These second opinions were insane. This one is from Veronica. 5 out of 5 stars. It's like cheesecake. Terrible for you, but delicious is the title of the review.
Ugh.
And I'm just going to read one part of it.
I don't like that.
I will say that this movie has become one of my favorite films, along with The Godfather, Hot Fuzz, Fight Club, and Jingle All the Way.
What?
Best way to watch this is with friends and alcohol. Lots of alcohol. Now, I would think, okay, she's on our page.
Yeah,
But when she says Godfather, I'm like, okay, are you being funny? And Hot Fuzz, like, well, that, all right. Then Fight Club, if you go Godfather, Hot Fuzz, and Fight Club are like three of my favorite movies, I'd be like, well, those are all good choices, solid choices.
Sure.
Jingle All the Way is questionable. But I don't know what's going on with Veronica. And that is Veronica's top five movies. They get better. Derek Morrow writes, if you don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, then you don't deserve to like his movies at all. And that's the truth. Five stars.
Well, yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Derek Morrow. And then now they get a little bit more fantastical here. This is from a guy just named USA. The title of the review is very compassionate. And he goes, although it has some editing problems, this is a great movie. When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be a satire. But it's actually a very perceptive and compassionate film. Arnold S. plays a scientist who gets pregnant as part of testing a new drug, but things don't go as planned, and the results are simply hilarious. He used his wife's pregnancies as his model for how a pregnant woman would act and imitated it very well. He never comes across as a homosexual, even though the drugs he's taking make him take on more and more aspects of femininity. It's well worth watching.
Oh, boy.
5 stars.
That guy, who?
That's USA wrote that. The USA wrote that.
And I will say he's right.
Our country?
Yes.
Our country wrote that.
And you know they're doing Amazon reviews now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I feel like, was that the NSA? The NSA is doing Amazon reviews?
Now, this is the thing that I actually really wanted to talk about today. Apparently, I just want to make sure I'm going to get my facts straight.
Up until now, you haven't wanted to talk about anything.
By the way, I do think USA was onto something. Like, he doesn't come across as an effeminate man, which maybe is, you know, of his acting. I didn't think so. I thought
he
came
definitely
across.
Does.
Yeah.
Oh, a little. I thought he came across as like a possessed man who is a woman.
But isn't that more insulting
to
a woman?
You keep coming back to this belief.
He's not a woman.
That he is a woman.
I'm saying
he's not a woman in the movie.
To each her own.
He's not a woman. And he slowly devolves into more and more, acting more and more feminine.
More stereotypes.
I agree, but I didn't find him to be effeminate. I didn't find him to be like a feminine man.
I don't think he was doing a gay voice. I don't think he was trying to affect anything gay. I agree with that.
Well, I would argue.
But he's definitely becoming more and more feminine. That's
I would
for
argue
sure.
that Schwarzenegger.
I agree with that.
I would argue, well, stereotypically feminine.
That's what I'm saying, okay. But he never appeared to be effeminate or like.
I would argue that Schwarzenegger in this movie has done more research than most, and I think that actually brings down his performance. He like watched his wife. He went to pregnancy doctor.
But they're also doing like a lot of jokes are hinge on like very stereotypical, like he's making dinner for Danny DeVito and Danny DeVito's not coming home
yet. Exactly.
And he's like, well, I guess it's going to be cold and you said you were going to be home on time and I have feelings now and I am also a woman and I don't know.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Flawless impression.
Amazing impression.
Fucking goddamn, I'm good.
I wanted to bring this up. Nate Kiley, our head researcher, brought this to my
head
attention.
We have a head researcher
He's our
now?
Head. He's a part of a 15-person team.
100 episodes.
In 2007, the Scottish artist Sandy Smith launched an essay writing competition asking entrants to attempt to prove that Junior could be considered the greatest movie of all time. Despite it being covered in the national press, the competition received fewer entries than there were prizes. And this is from the winning essay, and I'd like to read you just a little sampling from the winning essay. Okay, here we go. It could be argued that Junior is making the ultimate social statement by suggesting that extreme measures are sometimes the best way to hold up the traditional notion of family. Critically, the piece also fulfills the original criteria displayed in the introduction by fleshing out rounded characters in unexpected molds. For example, the intelligent doctor with a bodybuilder's physique, by supplying a thought-provoking and boundary-pushing plot and displaying different facets to the film using signs and signifiers, you could argue that Junior is not a one-joke movie, but instead
a no-joke movie.
Instead a film that at the time of release was pioneering a new filmmaking style by addressing elements of non-places and banality without falling into the trap of making the film itself a banal non-entity. This, coupled with the social commentary the film provides on a subject that applies to significantly almost every viewer in some manner or another, makes Junior not just a monumental work, but one that could be termed as one of the greatest films of all time.
Wow.
And that is a 5-page essay. I just
really?
Took some,
wow. Oh, that's interesting.
And that guy won 50 pounds.
Worth it. wow. Oh, that's funny.
Would you guys recommend Junior? Would you recommend?
I would. I thought it. I didn't have a hard time watching it. I thought it was completely insane, and I couldn't believe it was happening.
I think it's one of the craziest episodes that we've done.
Yeah, like,
I did.
I did.
Really.
I
for the most part, I thought it was a boring movie with things that could have been crazier, or again, once it got to dressing him up like a woman,
you were on board.
Then I was like, "Oh, great! Thank God this section has arrived."
You really like the cross drilling. So you like that show?
Work it.
Yeah. that's where I was like, "Oh, this is now super crazy." Up until then, obviously, it's nuts, but they're so leaden in how they're dealing
right.
with it.
Like you are right that it takes a while for them to sort of produce his belly,
well,
too.
This is
like
what
he's
happens.
Just wearing a big sweatshirt.
Once they get him pregnant, what they do is they basically just put him in Danny DeVito's house and it becomes a domestic drama for like 25, 30 minutes. So right. like the first hour I would say is kind of whatever. And once it's like the middle of act two to the end, it's cuckoo crazy and is very funny and rewarding and insane. But I mean, there are so many better bad movies that we've done, I feel
like. Would you like to see a sequel that follows Junior and just her life and how she survived?
Oh, no, that baby's
going to
die.
With no food or sustenance.
I wish the movie had ended with the baby being born, like stillborn, or being born like a monster, or like something. like what did you expect?
By the way, the DeVito Little Man movie is way better. I would have liked a sequel to seeing. I would have liked the end scene to be DeVito being pregnant. Why not?
Yep.
Why just tease it? Just show me a 2-minute scene that would have been really fun because the movie ends so softly, like a feather on a cotton ball.
She's also about to pop at the end of the movie.
Yes,
Emma
Thompson
at the end of the movie,
pregnant.
Which is so like, wow, they really got started quickly. They had had this baby.
They fucked in the maternity spa.
Oh, I wonder if that's
you know what I mean.
We don't know when they
and I'm sure they didn't use a condom.
I hope they didn't.
Nobody uses condoms.
Nobody uses condoms in movies ever. No, I mean like what's her name who fucked the trainer for Arrow. Smith.
Yeah.
She just raw dogged that
Why
guy.
Why did she do
there's
that?
There was a one night stand that she raw dogged and got knocked up. Come on, that's irresponsible.
He works
with a band.
Yeah, dude, traveling across
gross.
The world.
Gross.
This whole movie is disgusting. Well,
except I will say, I was reminded of, as I always am this time of year, usually by Love Actually, how much I truly love Emma Thompson.
She's amazing.
I love Emma Thompson front to back, top to bottom.
Honestly,
She's amazing.
It made me want to rewatch Much Ado About Nothing.
It made me want to rewatch Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, interesting.
Because I haven't seen that movie since it came out, and I remember her being amazing.
After 100 episodes, should we just start the Emma Thompson podcast?
Every week, a different Emma Thompson movie.
Put this thing to bed.
And we really break it
we
down.
Just went, finally, we're doing what we wanted to do.
She's just so fucking watchable and
so great.
Alive.
Yes.
Like the
from
rest
Nanny
of the
McPhee
people in this movie
to
are so
Saving
dead.
Mr. Banks, she brings it all the
and
time.
And she's like sexy
Men in Black
and
3,
funny.
Got
I love
it.
Her.
Oh, she's great. So sexy.
I know.
She's
very
so
sexy.
Sexy.
Love her.
Is she single? Sexy, I want to go out with... Guys, if you're out there and you know Emma Thompson and she's single, please tell her I want to go on a date with her.
Honestly, she would be... I want to go on a date with
right?
her, too.
Right? Well, all right.
Oh.
I'll go on a date with her, too. She was married to Kenneth Branagh for a short
That's
time.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's been married since 2003 to Greg Wise.
Okay, disregard.
But Greg Wise, you know, maybe he's on the way out. Greg Wise is
no, I hope they're happy.
An English actor
I hope they're
and
happy.
Producer.
She deserves to be happy.
She deserves happiness, and I hope that she's found it with him.
What movies did she write?
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice.
I'm going to look at it right now.
And
she wrote quite a few.
Yeah.
She wrote Nanny McPhee.
Oh, interesting.
She wrote Pride and Prejudice. She wrote Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, right.
She wrote a TV series called Thompson, which I imagine she was the star of.
Was that the earliest credit?
No.
Is that what launched her?
The earliest credit is There's Nothing to Worry About, a TV series that she wrote. Then Alfresco, another TV series. Mm. And then Thompson, which looks like her Seinfeld.
How did this get Thompson?
It's
Emma.
How did Emma get Thompson?
I think it's a sketch show.
Oh, awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to watch
UK
this immediately.
Sketch show. 6 episodes with her, Kenneth Branagh, Imelda Staunton, Stephen Moore, and Phyllida Law. She's Robbie Coltrane. Oh,
she's the best. Robbie Coltrane from Gooby?
Yeah. The Gooby himself.
Or a Gooby?
Gooby.
You mean Gooby?
Guys, we have done it. That's our 100th episode.
Oh, Felt great.
We have a Twitter at HDTGM. You can follow us there. And if we missed anything, we didn't talk about something that you want to talk about, you can leave it for us in our corrections and omissions board on the Earwolf page. I'm not going to explain it. You can figure it out. Just go to the message board, leave it there. It all works out.
Yeah, and it's also good if you want to go on the forums on the message board there and get into irrational fights with each other.
Oh, it's great.
About nonsense. So why not just start picking on each other, you dummies?
I'm sure that this will bring up a lot of things for a lot of different people. I will promote that I just did an Adult Swim infomercial called the Frank Pier Resort and Casino. You can watch that on YouTube. What have you guys got? Anything?
At the moment, no. My Twitter's at Miss June Diane.
This is airing the day after Christmas, so
I'm not on Twitter. I'm trying to think if there's anything to plug. No, not really, I don't think.
Well, there you go. We don't have much to tell you. What about our guest? Do you have anything to say?
Guest? Empty chair. I will say quiet. I enjoyed doing this as a guestless 100 episodes in.
Yeah.
Just the three of us.
It makes
me feel real good.
Real good.
Real good.
And that brings us to an end of our 100th episode of How Did This Get Made? And before I go, I must give a sincere and heartfelt thank you to Scott Aukerman and Jeff Ulrich, who brought me in to Earwolf and made me meet amazing people here, people like our engineers, Brett and Cody. They're amazing. They've stuck with us. All the engineers who have passed on. They have not died, but they've moved on to different places. All the amazing people here at Earwolf that work tirelessly, July, Ellie, Adam, everybody here, and there's so many people I'm not naming. They make the show run effortlessly and smoothly. And a big thanks to all of our interns, Nate, Leanna, Avril. They are amazing to have here. And so we just want to say a big thank you to all of them for letting us make a podcast for you guys. That is as sincere as I'm going to get. All right, we'll see you next week for a mini episode. Make sure to send in your corrections and omissions to the Earwolf message boards. That's right. You can do it and you can hear your name on the mini episode. Won't you be so happy? You'll be so proud. You can play it for your mom or your dad at Christmas and go, look at me. I'm so famous. I was mentioned on a free podcast. Oh, Serial? No. How did this get made? Never heard of it. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.